It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Monday nights at 7, BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins KSL for an insider look at the BYU football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. It's the Players Club. Thanks for being with us. Just heard from Jaren Hall breaking down this last week's game. They move right on. I would think, I mean, this is a weird time, Scott, because balancing like that success, it's only three games into the season, and yet it's also furious in terms of BYU fans are getting a massive treat that they haven't had in a while.
Nobody, Alex, nobody said that BYU would go 3-0 in their first.
2-1 was the best scenario.
Nobody did.
2-1 was the best scenario in everybody's minds. They're like, oh, yeah, it'd be nice to go 2-1.
And now the question is, can they handle success? You know, really, it's a hard thing to handle. And, you know, asking and talking to Jaren about that, it feels like they've got the right mindset about it. But – you know, you'll never know until you get into the games, and because you just hate to get out to a 3-0 start and then have it for naught, you know, and lose a game that you have no business losing.
You brought up
that is the worst feeling in the world.
You brought up the USC game, you brought up the Tennessee game. Those were back to back high profile games that they won in overtime. One was at home, and Tennessee was not very good. USC was ranked at the time. And ended up being pretty good that year. But they lose to Toledo that year, right? And you're kind of going, what's going on here, man? And things changed. So I don't know what it is. I'm trying to think what the attitude may have been where, you know, I think it does start from Kalani all the way down. But this is Kalani talking today about that very thing. I think that they're trying to figure out how to keep that team down to earth. I think that being ranked 15th on week three is it's not accurate. I'm not saying that they're not the 15th best team in the country.
You don't think that's accurate?
It's too early.
Oh, heck
no. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that whether or not BYU is the 15th ranked team or not. It's
Utah's
just not accurate.
Utah's going to pull it
together. There's a bunch of teams in front of them who aren't very good.
Utah's going to pull it together. They're going to have a good year. Arizona State's going to have a good year. Arizona's not going to have a good year. So it's okay.
We can already count that they're not going to. They lost to Northern Arizona.
I think it's awesome that they're 15 in the country.
Wild.
At least somebody is.
Here's what I was going to say. Kalani Sitake talking about how they can improve. And certainly there were some things that they could watch and get better at. And here's what the coach had to say today about that very thing.
I do need to see improvement in a lot of different areas. And that's not just on the players. That's on myself and the assistant coaches. We need to play better. We need to see a lot of improvement. I was really pleased with some of the improvement that we saw from week two to week three, but we've got to make a bigger jump from week three to week four.
There were enough mistakes in there for a coach to be able to go, yeah, we did win that game, but you look bad right here.
Yeah, I think Kalani's becoming Bill Belichick. Yeah, I'm not happy with this at all.
He's not, though, because he's on the sideline. He's on the sideline doing the running man.
I'm talking about the post-game press conference.
Trying to be like vanilla.
No coach goes, okay, we've got to see a massive jump from week three to week four. Nobody says that. The only time anybody says is it's from one to two. Four?
No.
Three to four?
He said next week. He's just saying next week.
No, he's saying, from week. Okay. Nobody says that except for – and my point is that he's saying, look, we cannot get complacent, right? And it's his way of saying we cannot get complacent. Right. It's like, I need to see more because I'm not seeing anything out here. This is a joke.
I don't know who you guys are.
I'm surprised we've won a game this year. And that's Bill Belichick.
That's the coach way.
That is Bill Belichick. And, okay. And really, to Kalani's credit – He's done an amazing job of keeping this and getting this team ready to play week after week after week.
If there were something that I would like to see BYU do, it's score more points. Right now you're at this point where you're like, hey, every game is 20-something to teen-something. Like, that's been every game. It's been almost the exact same score every week, and there have been points left on the field. And so when you leave the points on the field – I think if you're a BYU fan, you're going to start getting greedy. You should, because last year's team, what was it? They were winning games, but they were also putting up a lot of yards and a lot of points. And that's something that right now the offense hasn't been doing. They've been able to move the ball exactly when they've needed to, but they've had mistakes that have held up scoring. And I think that those 40-plus point games are what BYU's missing now. Allow me to get picky, right? If you're going to play USF, you've got to score 40 points this weekend. You've got to show that your offense can button it up, get a bunch of points in that first and second quarter, and then go in and have it be a 40-something to 10 to 20. You know, I mean, have it be a 3-touchdown game. And I think that's what people are waiting for, is for a breakout of just like a ton of yardage, a ton of points. And they're on the cusp. I think they're right there. I think they have.
But when you're playing Power Five schools, I know they're not looking all that. I mean, they still have pretty talented players. Arizona State has talented players. Arizona has talented players. Utah has talented players. And so, you know, you're not going to blow out people in those games. You know, they're going to be.
I'm just saying. I think that's the next. That's the next level.
You think when BYU is playing teams that they should beat. Then yes, you want to see that victory of margin much further than
I want to see something change in terms of like that next gear. That's what you want to see on the offensive side of things. I want to see that next.
So
gear.
You've bought into Kalani's. I need to see something from week three to week four.
I'll take it further. I actually didn't like what I saw at all on Saturday. I mean,
not even a bit.
They escaped with a win, barely. Okay,
it's just your night. I'm just telling you, it is your night. When on the opening kickoff,
they fumbled, literally,
it's like, we're just going to give you the game.
But see, That was a created turnover.
No, it was a hard tackle on the ball.
It wasn't like the guy. There are moments where opposing quarterbacks will just throw it right to a guy. The first pick that they had was an absolute, it wasn't even an interception. It was like a bobble in the air off of a guy's chest. The other guy going the other way grabs it on the way down. It's like Max Tooley makes an insane athletic play. But, either way, I think those are true takeaways in those cases. But, yeah, I didn't like what I saw in terms of attitude after the game. Way too many smiles on the face, Scott. Way too many smiles on those players' faces. I hope that they moved right on and they started studying that South Florida film right in the locker room. Here's what Kalani Sitake said from that last loss that they had against USF. I think it's a little bit fake to say that they're, thinking about that loss from a couple of years ago down in Tampa. But I certainly do think that they go, look, we've got them at our place now, and things have changed a little bit. We've grown up a lot, and here's what we have now with USF coming to town.
Sticking to our identity and our belief in the system, staying the course. I think that's the idea is to keep reemphasizing our strengths. What our identity, our program's all about, and keep focusing on the culture. That's something that we've been really focused on as a program.
I want to know what that culture is, though. Like, what changed over the last, like you were saying, what's changed over the last 2 or 3 years for Kalani? Whatever it is, it's working. I mean, the attitude is working. It's not just because what's happened, your number two pick overall, in the NFL draft left, and you guys picked up right where you left off. So there is a culture situation. There is an attitude. And that will just carry from 1 year to the next. Does that mean that Zach Wilson maybe was not as good as people think? Absolutely not. What I'm saying is there is something that's been established now that they're carrying with them. It's a torch that's being carried from one group to the next, and it's totally working. Everybody's bought in. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to talk about. The difficulty of getting to 4-0. Looking ahead at the rest of BYU's schedule as well. It's the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.